What's wrong with my lights? Did my cat chew my lights again?
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich wrapped up their 2021-22 campaign with a tepid 2-2 draw to Wolfsburg on Saturday, perhaps a fitting end to what has ultimately been a season of disappointments. If that wasn't bad enough, after the match, Robert Lewandowski confirmed what has really been known for a while now, that he's hoping to leave Bayern this summer. Now, as the club heads toward the summer transfer window, the rumor mill is going in full force. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to briefly look back at Bayern's season and anticipate what's to come in the summer transfer window with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hi.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, I know this will probably be lost on the listener. You guys can't tell us, but we actually have brought back the video chat for the first time in a while, so we've been having a little bit of fun with that one. But I think we're all in agreement. We're looking forward to this episode, even if some of the stuff that we have to talk about here at the beginning specifically really won't be that much fun. And that's because we're going to start by looking back at Bayern's season, a season that I think that has been disappointing for all Bayern fans. I don't think too many people look at it and think that expectations were met, definitely not exceeded. But I really just kind of want to throw out one, maybe two questions to get us started. And the first one is, you know, how would you rate Julian Nagelsmann's first season? Because that kind of is the big talking point of the season. It's Nagelsmann, this young coach, he's come in. How do you think that he's done so far this season? And then maybe if you want to mention something that stands out to you in either a positive or a negative light. So maybe something, maybe you can highlight something that stood out as exceptionally good or exceptionally bad for you so far this season. And so if anyone has got that stuff locked in, wants to go first, go ahead and jump in. We'll kind of all give our thoughts before we transition into the transfer talk.
I can take this. I'd say that the Nagelsmann's first season has been, I think he kind of met the level that he should, but I think there was like a lot of expectation that he was going to, that he was going to exceed that. I think it's kind of like long been established that for the club, the Bundesliga is, you have to win that. And he did. He did it. He scored a lot of goals, conceded a lot, but conceded less than last season. It didn't like go to the wire like it has done before. And there were some really, really great performances. There certainly were a lot of highlights from this whole season. And so I think you can look at how the last couple of months went and think this was a failure. But I do think that you need to give credit where credit's due. And there were some really, really great performances at the start. And Kingsley Coman, for example, he reached a level that we hadn't seen him prior to this season. It was kind of the level that he always threatened to get to. And the same with Sané as well. We saw really good development there. And we did see that shift, kind of like the first big shift that Bayern have had in maybe about like 10 years or so, is that we had a left-footed left winger. And maybe that doesn't seem as significant as it could do, but I do think that it is like a notable change. So I think there are some positives, but I'm sure that Nagelsmann of all people will know, because he's a very self-critical person. This season didn't go as good as it could have done. The Champions League, for example, another second round knockout in the cup. There is that kind of debate of, is this second round knockout worse than the one last year? I think they're probably about the same. Like, really heavy defeat this year, defeat to a team in the league below last year. I don't know. There's like, I think each argument has like quite a valid case to be made. So in terms of positives, I'm glad that we saw the evolution of guys like Kingsley Coman. We saw Leroy Sané. We saw people like Josip Stanisic like get, for at least a little while, kind of a decent run in the first team. I think that was really positive to see. And there were some highlights, as well as like the continued integration of Jamal Musiala. in terms of a negative, though, I don't know how much this is a Nagelsmann thing, but it's everything that's going on off the pitch as well. Because teams lose games. That's just the law of the jungle. That's how it works. But it's the way that Bayern are conducting themselves in the press, with contract extensions, maybe more accurately. It's been really sad to see that this guy who's like dreamt of winning the league with Bayern in some capacity, like this guy's living most of our dreams, I imagine. Like I'm so happy for him. It's so sad that he couldn't get through his first season without so many really dramatic things going on. But again, a lot of those are kind of out of his control. Like he isn't the reason why Salihamidzic is getting a lot of criticism. Like he's not the reason Robert Lewandowski's contract situation is coming up again and again and again. These are issues that have been there long before Nagelsmann. I think as a whole, I'd probably rate this season like a very low 7, like a high 6. So like he passes, he did what he needs to do, but you know that there's a lot more that could have been achieved.
That's exactly where I would go with it too, Tim. I was actually thinking about a 7 is what I would rate it. And I think that you touched on pretty much all the things I would touch on, and that like I think in some ways that this exit from the Pokal was worse in that it was against a really not great Gladbach team, and they really didn't have the excuse of just, you know, fixture fatigue. You know, they were the last season, they at least had all the different cups that they were trying to win in conjunction with winning the Champions League and all that sort of stuff. So that's what makes it a little bit worse to me. And then obviously, you know, dropping out to Villarreal and then getting what, 2 points from the last 3 matches, after, you know, obviously you won the league at that point, so it doesn't matter too much, but it just leaves a bad taste in the mouth. But overall, I'd say if you broke this season into quarters, you would say that for 3 quarters of the season, we were pretty happy with just some minor critiques and some things where we would say, like, you know, this needs to get better, this could be a problem. And then obviously at the end of the season, when it all kind of came together. But I would say it's a good first year of transition between one of the most successful coaches in his, you know, year and a half that he's been with the club, in Hansi Flick, to a new manager with a different style of play, different ideas. We can't complain too much. You win the league for a 10th season in a row. That's, I think we downplay that a little bit more than we should. And a lot of it's just because, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I've not been a football fan very long, and I've been a Bayern fan since like 2014, a football fan since 2014. I've never not seen Bayern win the Bundesliga. So it's a little bit harder for me to be like, oh yeah, I'm really jazzed up about winning the German league again. But that's not nothing. And they reached a lot of heights in terms of, I mean, they almost hit 100 goals again this year. 77 points in 34 matches is pretty solid. All in all, pretty good. I think that we just have to keep in mind that there's a transition coming. It really did end in a really poor way, and all the off the field stuff with contract situations and players leaving for free this summer. And like Sula and I mean, Talisa, not so much of a big deal, but probably gone for nothing and all that. That stuff, I think it's really easy to get to on the recency bias train and think, like, since this is the most prevalent thing in our minds, then everything was awful this year and we just barely squeaked by. I mean, Bayern won, so they get two points in the last three matches, and they still win the league by 8 points. That's pretty good. So all in all, I'd rate it like a 7, fully understanding that if we see Bayern bow out in the second round next year of the Pokal, then we have some serious issues and some serious questions to be asked. I would like, you know, everybody would like to see them go further in Champions League, but ultimately I think it's who Bayern lost to rather than that they lost, that gets everybody riled up and upset. But as far as the season goes, that's kind of, I think, the way we need to frame it.
Yeah, I think the number that was in my head was about 6.5. So I'm kind of in the same area as you guys. And still, you know, 6.5 isn't great. It's not what you want, but it's definitely not enough for me to be, I guess, too upset at Nagelsmann. Like you guys brought up, it's definitely not. I'm not saying he has no blame, but it's not definitely not entirely his fault the way that the season went. With that being said, there is just one thing that kind of concerns me, and it's the fact that the team started off really good this year and kind of fell off as the season went along, and that's become a pattern with Nagelsmann to an extent, both at Hoffenheim and then at RB Leipzig. And I hope that's something that he can kind of get under control and that we don't see that again next year. You obviously want it to be a slow power creep upward, not, you know, the opposite of that, which is kind of what we got this year. And then as far as like stuff that stands out, Tim, you brought it up a second ago. Kingsley Coman's just a name that comes to mind for me. I think back when we did like the season preview episode several months ago, one of the things that I wanted was for one of the wingers, at least one of the wingers, to step up, whether it be Sané or Gnabry, who I thought it would be. Not really Kingsley Coman, but Kingsley Coman, I think in the space of the past, you know, 12 months, even less than that, has completely changed the way that we look at him, the way that we perceive him. Like when you talk about, when you see a lineup with Kingsley Coman in it, you don't have the same thoughts now that you would have 12 months ago. I mean, he's become such a important player, really a key player at the club right now. And I think that's been really incredible to see. But Sebastian, what about you?
Yeah, I think I will just add a couple of points here that you didn't elaborate on as much. I mean, first and foremost, I think it's not doing him any favors that he has replaced Hansi Flick. Of course, if that guy would have replaced one of the other guys before, I mean, we probably don't agree on how much we rate Kovac. But yeah, I think if he would have come right after Kovac or after Ancelotti or something like that, I think we would see this very, very differently. It's just that after a guy like Flick, this is just, well, not very favorable for him. So I think we would probably get 1 point more from all of us, if not for that, I guess. So I would kind of agree with the 6.5 or something around that. What I was kind of frustrated with this season is Nagelsmann didn't really bring what I most expected from him, because we came from Flick's system where the offense was basically the main thing, where everything was about his philosophy that included just a whole lot of offense, and defense was more of an afterthought. Defense was established basically by being as threatening as possible and not giving the opposition much room to attack themselves. And I expected Nagelsmann to change something about that, to really shore up the defense, to be stronger on that side of the ball. And I don't think I saw enough of that. And kind of related to that, I expected, again, in comparison to Flick, who is more like a guy who has a very strong philosophy, I feel, that, as I said, has a lot to do with attacking, playing attacking football. I expected Nagelsmann to have answers for tough situations, to be more clever in terms of tactics, to see, okay, this opponent plays very defensively, they do this on the side, and so on and so on, and he would have the solution for that. And I didn't really see that, especially when we lost in the Champions League, when we were eliminated. That is the situation, that's exactly the kind of game where I would have thought this is a game where we could profit from having someone like Nagelsmann on the bench. And I didn't really see that in this first season, and I really hope for some improvements there, I must say. Other than that, yeah, I think you mentioned a lot of very valid positive points, so I don't think I can add much to that. There are a number of success stories. Stanisic is one of them. Coman is another one. That's definitely a lot of positives there too. But I don't think I can add much new there.
I think you bring up a good point, though. Nagelsmann is a tactics guy, and so you expect him to step up tactically in the tough games, especially, you know, when it's a team like Villarreal, and you would think that surely we can find a way to beat this. Now maybe you could say that the squad he had at his disposal didn't exactly favor him, didn't exactly work it, you know, help him do what was expected of him. But I'm kind of with you there. Tactically, maybe I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. But before we start to talk about, you know, the summer transfer window, any further thoughts on, you know, looking back at the season, just someone you want to mention positively or negatively, something that stood out, maybe even talk a little bit more about Nagelsmann?
The only thing I'll say is that I think another aspect that kind of needs to play in a little bit, and fully understanding that injuries are part of every season. I mean, I think sometimes I forget anyway that, you know, Goretzka was out for a long stretch of time. Kimmich was out for a long stretch of time. Davies was out for a long stretch of time. So there's a lot of different guys that were dealing with injuries. And granted, that doesn't excuse the end of the season because they were all back for that. But that does affect a little bit how smoothly things run, I think. And so that does make a difference. But to the point of being about Nagelsmann being more of a tactics person, I do think that we mentioned it when we talked about the Champions League match. I do think sometimes it's a case of overthinking it and over tinkering. And so that is something that I think we need to pay close attention to next year as well. And I do this, I try to do it with every coach, is that the first year, unless it's an abject disaster and they're, you know, if Bayern had not won any trophies this year and, you know, they finished, you know, third, whew, how awful would that be? That would be one where I would say, yeah, this isn't working. But there's not enough bad to not the people that I hope everybody's chilled out from the Champions League loss, and there's no Nagelsmann out faction that has any real credence. But I think we should be excited for what could be coming, given even with all the uncertainty around players.
So you don't think we should fire Nagelsmann to go for the newly free Marco Rosa?
I don't, but I do think that that's really weird that they got rid of him, because I thought he was. It's not a Dortmund.
That's right. Too much Dortmund already.
Yeah, I'm already tired.
Yeah, let's talk about the transfer window instead, because hopefully, and I say hopefully, because I mean hopefully, the board recognizes that kind of something needs to be done after a disappointing season like this. Nagelsmann needs help. The squad kind of needs to be revamped. There's a significant chance that Robert Lewandowski will leave, and we've already kind of talked, and we're all in agreement he should leave, should a reasonable offer come our way. But Bayern, by numerous reports, have started looking to the transfer window. Nusair Mazraoui, he is, for all intents and purposes, a done deal. It seems Ryan Gravenberch is going to be right behind him, and we've already talked about him a good bit, but there are some names that have been linked with Bayern Munich that we really haven't had the chance to talk about, and so I want to briefly look at some of those a little bit today, starting with, well, I'll get to the man we're going to start with in a second, but we're going to talk about Sadio Mane, then we're going to talk about Konrad Leimer, but before all that, we have a certain striker from Stuttgart whose name is hard enough to spell that I don't trust myself pronouncing it first time, and so I'm going to defer to our resident expert, Sebastian, to first tell us how we pronounce this man's name. And then second, what do you think about a potential move for him, you know, for 20 to 25 million euros? Do you think he's Bayern level? Is he realistically a guy who can take over from Robert Lewandowski? Maybe even not be a total takeover, but even partially contribute to the team? I guess just what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, so first and foremost, if I'm not mistaken, the correct pronunciation would be something like Sasha Kalajdzic.
Okay.
hope that's correct.
It's Sasha, not Sasha.
Yeah.
Okay. See.
Sasha K. I'm gonna just go big. Yeah. Sasha K.
There we go.
Yeah, pretty sure. Sasha Kalajdzic. Yes. Because there's that little mark above the second S, which would make it a Sasha, if I'm not completely mistaken. Yes. So what do I think about him? I think he's good enough to give him a shot there. I think I like him enough for that. Is he the next Robert Lewandowski next season? Probably not. So let's be honest here. He's not going to be the one man kind of solution who's going to the next guy to score 40 goals in one season. That's just not a reasonable expectation to have. And I think that's the first thing we really need to address there. What's the realistic expectation? Because no matter who you get, that guy just doesn't exist who comes to the Bundesliga, because the biggest guys are not from the Bundesliga. A guy who comes into the Bundesliga and scores 40 goals and is first season, that's just not going to happen. Even scoring 30 goals in the first season, I don't think I can name any guy who I would be sure to get 30 goals next season or anything like that. So we just need to be very clear here that that cannot be the expectation. The expectation would be to score a good 20 plus goals, I would say. Maybe 25, that could be something to aim for. I think that's a realistic expectation you can have in this situation here. And if I ask myself, can he do that? Or can he do a fair percentage of that if he plays like a fair percentage of our games? Then I would say yes, probably he can. Why not? He's definitely a rising star, I would say, in Stuttgart. It seems like he's a very fine guy, hearing nothing bad about him. In terms of character, he obviously brings some things to the table that we could use in a striker. He's definitely very strong with standards. He's going to be very strong on corners, on free kicks, and on crosses, of course. So that's definitely a plus. The guy is, I think, basically 2 meters tall. So that's definitely something new, something interesting. Yeah, and I think he's good enough. He's still young. He's not like too young. He's 24 now. I think he's turning 25 basically when the season starts, so that's a good age, I would say. But it's not an age where I would be comfortable with keeping Lewandowski for one more year. I think we also need to say that he's a guy who cannot wait 12 months behind Lewandowski, because he's too old for that. He's not 18, he's gonna be 25. So right. If we get him, he should be a guy who at least gets like 50% of games or something like that.
I think he's almost exactly the same age Robert Lewandowski was when he came to Bayern.
About right.
24, 25.
That should be the right ballpark for all I know, yes. So I definitely think he should be maybe not strictly our complete number one who's going to play in every game, but yeah, I think if we get him, the reasonable thing would be to have another guy there. The next question would then be, of course, would a Xerxes be enough? Maybe if you complement that with getting a high profile winger like Sadio Mane, that could be maybe like a combination I could see being very interesting. If you get him to have him behind Lewandowski, that's a no from me. If you get him to put him behind another Lukaku or someone of that tier, basically, also a no for me.
Yeah, I think
Vita
that...
Vita Arp?
Yeah, Vita Arp, exactly. The highest of tiers right there. But no, I agree. I think behind Lewandowski, it doesn't make total sense. And I think 20 to 25 million euros is a reasonable fee now. Now, Tim, I'm interested to hear from you, because you've talked a lot in the past, you know, especially about Mario Mandzukic and how Bayern previously, before Robert Lewandowski, never really, or not maybe never, but didn't really have a one single striker. It was kind of a team effort in terms of the goals. You've talked about the 2013 treble season when no one on the team had more than 20 Bundesliga goals at all. Do you think bringing in someone like Kalajdzic and having a more group kind of replace, or maybe not group replacement, but having multiple options brought in behind Lewandowski should he leave makes more sense? And do you think that Kalajdzic is, you know, that caliber, I guess, of player?
Yeah, so I do think it is, for the benefit of the listeners, Sebastian has just joined with the video.
It's a good day.
It's wasted on everybody else, but we're happy. That's completely thrown me off now. What's happening? Yes, I do think that, as you said, the treble season is something that I think should, like the first one, 2012-13, I think that is the thing that Bayern should be looking to replicate. Because I think banking on one player, two, or even like two players to get everything is way too risky. Because even though I'm kind of like seesawing between the Lewandowski, I do want Lewandowski, I want to sell him, I want to keep him, I can't deny he guarantees goals. It's more about what happens outside of the goals that is where my, I guess, like distaste comes from. I do think that banking entirely on one person is very risky, because what happens if we face PSG and we don't have him in either game, but we don't adjust the tactics? It's still all out attack. We can't really do that with somebody like Choupo-Moting, who I do think did well. Again, that's in the past. I think what I need to do is have some form of attacking system in place that ensures that everybody, you know, past that part of the halfway line is being able to contribute to the goals, getting assists. And I think if Sasha Kalajic,
big Sasha
shot in the dark there. Yeah, big Sasha K. Big Sash from Austria. It's like him,
like big dog,
the other
from
guy
Hungary,
that we
yeah.
mentioned. Yeah, I think if he is capable of scoring, because he's not, I don't think he's like the most prolific guy. I think he got like six Bundesliga goals, five or six this season. Right, I think he was injured for like a really long time. But if he can do that at quite a, no disrespect intended, quite a low level. I don't think Stuttgart were particularly good this season. I think they did kind of suffer with a lot of injuries to quite key players that were great in previous years. I think if he can do that, you can't help but wonder what could he do with like other people around him, because presumably there has to be like something in the water at Bayern that means that when you play with Thomas Müller and you know, on his day, Serge Gnabry and Leroy Sané, Kingsley Coman, these people will elevate you. I think what we've seen of Choupo-Moting is somebody that was kind of forgotten about at Stoke and was kind of a bit of a laugh, a bit of a joke at PSG. But at Bayern, in the second leg against PSG, it wasn't that terrifying going forward with him up top. You'd rather have somebody else. But when you have like such quality around them, everybody else kind of lifts everybody else up. And that's what I'd want to see more next season. I want to see a more holistic approach to scoring and attacking. Because I do think that risking it all on one person is too much. So I think that Big Sash would be a great addition to the squad, but I don't think that that's enough. I do think there needs to be more. And again, also, if you have him for not that much money, I think, like as you said, like 20 million and 25 million isn't, like, you know, obviously it's not cheap. I'd happily take 25 million from anybody for whatever it is that I do. If you have that, that does leave the door open for opportunities to get in potentially somebody like Sadio Mane, who has that track record of being quite prolific. I think it would be a good move. But I do think it's like part one of something else that's like a little bit bigger.
And we've talked about that on here before. I think a couple episodes ago, two episodes ago, we talked about how post Lewandowski isn't just going to be a one man thing. It's gonna bring about a change in system, and so we're prepared for stuff like that. But let's talk about Sadio Mane, because there's been a surprising amount of rumors, I think, linking Bayern with him in spite of his age. And I guess a lot of mixed responses from Bayern fans on that deal. And so let's talk about him for a bit. Garrett, I'll come to you first. I guess just initial reactions to the Mane links, you know, 30 years old, not exactly something that is too exciting for Bayern fans. That being said, he is still obviously a world-class player. So do you think he, let's say Lewandowski leaves, maybe even Serge Gnabry leaving, is Sadio Mane the type of player, is he the player that Bayern should be pursuing?
I'll say I like it a lot better if Bayern are signing Sasha K, because I think that makes more sense to me. Because I think if you're going to, you know, replace the star power of Lewandowski and attack differently, then that's not really doing it for me. Like you said, to sign a guy 30 where you're already kind of dealing with a club policy of, you know, only giving 1, maybe 2 year deals to guys over 30, it feels like not a great fit. But if you bring him in alongside guys like Sasha K, like Gravenbach, Gravenberg, and some of the other guys that are rumored to come in, I think that makes a lot more sense, because then you have attacking from different points of the pitch and different angles and all that sort of thing. And to kind of get to, you know, what Tim was talking about, you know, having a team that's more like a machine that you can take parts out, plug parts in, and it's still humming right along. I think that's where Bayern should want to go. And I think it seems like maybe do want to go, and to where they still have stars that have pull globally in terms of, you know, who people want to watch play, but they're not relying on those stars. So Sadio Mane, like you said, definitely has he's a world-class player. He definitely provides something that Bayern don't really have, in the sense that he's just really good at a lot of different positions. It's almost like, it's a little bit like what we had hoped that Sabitzer would be, I think, in some ways. Not exactly, because obviously different levels of player, but in the terms of, like, you can put him in all different spots on the field and still get a high level performance. I think that's what you would end up getting. And if he's here for 2-3 years, then okay, you're probably still getting out from under a contract with him at a pretty good time. So like I said, if this deal with Sasha K gets done, then I feel a lot better and a lot more on board with wanting to get Sadio Mane. And also, I wanted to mention, for those of us Americans that are still trying to convert 2 meters, it's almost 6'7". So the things that Sasha brings to Bayern is going to be just going to allow us to do a lot more different things, and a lot. It's going to be exciting, I think. I'm really excited about that signing.
Yeah, I mean, tallest player in the Bundesliga this season, and I think he had the most, I know he had the most headed goals in the Bundesliga, and I think he had the most headed goals in Europe, and that's just in, you know, he played like 12, 14 Bundesliga games, maybe. So that's definitely a big asset. But on Mane, Sebastian, what do you think about, you know, the age factor, about the player in general? And then let's say that Serge Gnabry, you know, decides to, or they work it out, he signs a new contract and he stays at Bayern. Is someone like Mane, because I think Gnabry, in terms of type of player, is the closest we have to Mane. Do you think he's still kind of a signing we need?
Yes, I think it makes more sense to get Mane if you move on from Serge Gnabry, because we don't even really know how many actual wingers we're going to be playing, right? So someone like Masraoui might take up one of those spots for an actual winger anyway, so if we're playing with the Jokers again, which I assume is at least part of what we're going to be doing. So we're not going to have 2 actual wingers in addition to that. So we might rather want to have 1 winger less than 1 more than we had last season, possibly, if anything. I think if you get Mane, you don't need to resign or give him a new contract. Then I would move on there. Having both, I don't know, that's probably not enough playing time for someone. Not sure. That's obviously that's not necessarily going to be Gnabry who's going to lose out there, but somebody's going to lose out if we're not getting more injuries than we're already getting every year. So I mean, it's not impossible, I suppose, but I don't think that would be great. Talking about Mane in itself, I guess he's very good, man. I mean, he's like possibly the second tier of players you got there, right below someone like Messi and those guys. I mean, Messi didn't have the greatest season. Like, maybe he would rather have to say something like Mbappe or someone like that, or Lewandowski, of course. So he's basically right behind those guys. You cannot really go wrong there. 30 is not the youngest player we're going to have on the squad, but it's definitely someone you can plan with for 3 years, 4 years, or something like that, I would say. And yeah, he's very fit. I really don't think it's going to be a huge problem for him if he doesn't get injured or anything very soon. So also, character-wise, everybody knows I'm kind of tricked on the character issues there. I would rather have guys who don't come with a lot of baggage off the field, and Mane definitely is a leader, and he's a guy with a good head on his shoulders. So I would say, in terms of that, it's great. And if you have someone leaving who's even older than he is, I mean, if you just take Gnabry and Lewandowski leaving and Kalajic and him coming in, you're getting younger. And I think that's perfectly fine, really. Even kind of significantly younger. So yeah. No problem there.
The last name that we haven't really talked about yet in terms of the players that have strongly been linked with Bayern is Konrad Laimer, another RB Leipzig midfielder. We were linked with him, I believe, last summer, and it never panned out. But apparently Nagelsmann wants a strong presser in midfield, someone who can kind of do an N'Golo Kante is kind of how I interpret it, type of job, where he's hounding guys down, he's winning the ball back, maybe not offering a ton in terms of attack, in terms of going forward, but he's there to win the ball back. And we've talked before, and there's a reason that I'm coming to you first, Tim, about needing a guy who can kind of shield the back line and sit in front of the defense. And obviously Nagelsmann doesn't trust Mark Rocha to do that job, and so that's where I think Konrad Laimer comes in. So Tim, is he, in your eyes, you think Laimer is the type of guy, or is the guy, I guess, that Nagelsmann should be going after? And then also, maybe you could talk a little bit about, well, it's another player from RB Leipzig that Bayern will be buying if this goes through. Not really the best look for the club there.
I think he's obviously good. Then again, I thought Sabitzer was good. So that kind of, that whole thing. I wouldn't be surprised to find if the Sabitzer deal does kind of have a big impact on how Bayern look at players from Leipzig. So I know that the Breno situation had quite a long-lasting impact on Bayern's purchasing of players from South America, but that's like maybe a separate issue. That's not so much sporting. I think Konrad Laimer is obviously very good. If that's the sort of player that Nagelsmann wants, then I think as far as like very energetic and, you know, press-heavy players are, as far as that goes, I think Laimer would probably be one of the first names on most people's list. My preference is somebody that is a definitive, unquestionably purely defensive midfielder. I think it's great that Bayern have recognized that they lack something in midfield. My personal opinion is that it isn't somebody to be running over there and then chasing it down here and then pressing over there. It's somebody to just stay where they are and essentially tidy up in that sense. I think I saw a post earlier that it's been however many years since we said goodbye to Lahm and Xabi Alonso. We've replaced neither of them. And that's 4-5 years ago, I think. It's been a very, very long time. And we've spoken ad nauseum about how much we desperately need a right back. We've not had like a proper number six for a very, very long time. And that comes in a number of shapes and sizes. It comes as somebody that will be like a playmaker like Alonso was. He was somebody that would pass from one corner flag to the other one in the diagonal corner, and he would definitely meet his player. You have that sort of controlling presence, or you can have somebody like Javi Martinez who will show up and just throw their body in the way of anything. I think finding somewhere in between the two, I don't think that's that difficult. Like I'm a huge proponent of somebody like Niklas Dorsch. I realize that he's playing for Augsburg, and so that's, I don't know, maybe this doesn't make any sense, because if we're willing to get a striker from a team that came like very, very near the bottom of the table from Stuttgart, what's to say that a defensive midfielder isn't going to be like as effective? I think maybe you can make an argument that area of the pitch, like the defensive midfield area of the pitch, is more important to how things go for Bayern or just football teams in general. But I would love to see somebody like Niklas Dorsch come back, because he ticks all of the boxes of things that we don't currently have, or more accurately, none of the boxes are ticked that he will fill. Like he has all of these criteria that isn't currently being offered by the other players. And again, this kind of goes back to that topic of the players that he'll be around will kind of be able to cover up any potential deficits that he has. I think if Bayern get Konrad Leimer, that's great. The optics on it are horrific, because I think last year was bad enough. The manager's one thing. Bayern need a manager. He was available. They paid what he needed. Upamecano and the manager, that's... okay, Bayern need defenders, so they pay what was asked for. And then Sabitzer, like, how many midfielders are there in the world? I've played midfield sometimes. I've realized I'm like really pushing for Bayern to give me a contract. I'd love for it to happen.
Well, and to add to it, there's a significant chance that if not this summer, next summer, Christopher Nkunku is going to be on the list as well.
Yes.
So
that I can look the other way for that.
I think it's really a matter of that it's one club that they're getting it from more than in Bundesliga, because nobody cares that other club that I've already mentioned the podcast, and it's they wear yellow. No one's mentioning that they've signed a bunch of top players from other Bundesliga teams, because, you know, number one, they're not winning the league, and number two, it's from a bunch of different clubs. But and my feelings on Leimer are kind of along with you, Tim. I think he's a good player from what I've seen. He doesn't give me anything that I think that Bayern desperately need, I guess, if that makes a lot of sense. Or they couldn't find in a player that wouldn't have the bad optics or maybe even cost less. I don't know.
I
was just going to say briefly is that I don't think that Leimer wouldn't offer. I don't think he'd offer anything that you couldn't get Goretzka to do. Or there's probably a greater difference than I'm noticing. But if you want somebody that is really energetic, that can get forward and back, I think Goretzka's like the archetypal box-to-box midfielder. And, well, to be fair, as is Kimmich to a lesser extent. I don't think you can classify Kimmich as a defensive midfielder anymore. If that's the player that they want, in essence, they already have him. And they didn't need to... Well, yeah, he came from Schalke for free. It's good money, good deals.
Interesting point there, I must say. And I totally agree with what Tim said there about the kind of way Leimer is playing. I don't even know what you call that in English, guys. I think in German we would call that something like a Baller over in the Mittelfeldspieler or something like that. Like basically the guy who's basically starts the pressing, who's the first guy to attack when the other guys are trying to create something. And that's it kind of has a similar use than if you have someone who's sitting deep in front of defense, but it's just not the same thing. And some people don't realize that. That's very obvious if you look at average positions for Leipzig, because honestly, Leimer is usually relatively far up on the pitch on average, because he's the first guy to try to get the ball from the other guys. That's interesting to see. And I find it interesting that we seem to think, or I think the consensus here is, that that's the kind of guy that Nagelsmann wants, because I'm kind of not so sure that that's what we need, but I'm ready to trust Nagelsmann on that if Nagelsmann thinks that's the kind of player we need. Or maybe Nagelsmann actually thinks he doesn't have to be that kind of guy. Maybe it's Nagelsmann's opinion that a guy like him can also play a bit deeper, can play a bit more, not as aggressively, if you will, play a bit more of a waiting game and see what's coming and organize and so on. So I could see that happening, but it would be interesting to really get some more info out of an interview with Nagelsmann regarding that. Of course, he's not going to say much about that as things stand right now, but that would be very interesting to see what he would want to do with him, if it's actually the case that's his guy, that's the guy he would like to have on the squad. Because we probably all agree a bit that we had an issue on defense and that it was not just the backline issue, even if the backline was anything but perfect over this season. But yeah, maybe that could be the key to fixing those defensive issues, to have a guy there who's doing more of that work. But yeah, then the question, as we can see, is, well, what kind of guy would that be? What would his tasks be in an actual game? Yeah, and I'm not quite sure that the way Laima has been playing for Leipzig is the guy we would need, but maybe he can still be that.
I think it's kind of like the difference between what I would call a ball-winning midfielder, to kind of answer what you were talking about, Sebastian, someone who's hyper-aggressive, always going after it, wins it, and then maybe even joins the attack. The difference between that and like a holding midfielder, and that seems to be more of what y'all are suggesting Bayern needs, someone who is still defensively capable and is going to win the ball, but is going to sit in the hole, so to speak, and kind of hold their ground more, be more of a protector for the back line. But the transfer window is going to be open for a while. Technically, it's not even open yet, but the deals are still about to come in, and so I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. So quickly, before we wrap up, I do have kind of, guess, one fun question before we head into the transfer window, and that is this. If you had one name, one guy that you would want Bayern to sign this summer, it can be, you know, whoever you want, maybe make it realistic, so someone not like Kylian Mbappe, for example. I don't think Bayern are part of his big decision, but who's one name that you would want Bayern to sign this summer? And I'll go first to take the low-hanging fruit. I've already mentioned him, but Christopher Nkunku, I think, you know, if there's just one player you look at and you're like, man, it would be great to have him on this team, he would be the guy I would offer Leipzig, Sabitzer back, and try and get Nkunku to come in. So he's kind of more or less my dream signing that I really don't think is realistic for this summer, but if one of you have yours ready, go ahead and jump on in.
I'm still holding out hope that someday we'll get Kai Havertz. I'm still a believer that he's, you know, a great young player that's going to be really good in a few years, and I just don't want it to happen for Chelsea. I'd rather have him for Bayern, for sure.
That's actually two guys of my list already gone. Yes, I would agree with both of those guys. I got two more names for you guys. One of them, I don't know whether it's realistic. The other one, I'm not sure you're going to like. The one I don't know how realistic that is would be still De Ligt. I would still like that because he's probably everything we would want in a center back. He's very young, but already still someone who can be the leader on that defense, who can give commands, who's going to be the eyes of that defense, who's going to take the important decisions. Would be great. Not impossible, but probably a bit too expensive. And the other name I want to address is one we have been talking a lot about, is Timo Werner.
I knew it.
I would like to see that. I would still like to see that. Probably I'm the only one on this podcast. He could probably be had for rather cheap now, because I don't think Chelsea wants to desperately keep him. I still think Nagelsmann is the guy to make that work. I'm not sure if he still would want to join, but I can imagine he would rather leave the place he's at now. So I don't think that's, if he would really want to sign him if we would really have the conviction and say, okay, that's our guy. I don't doubt that we could get him.
I think I obviously go back and forth on Werner, but Werner and big Sasha K wouldn't be the worst.
Maybe not.
Lewandowski maybe. Replacements, but Tim is
before
it,
Tim. Before Tim, can I get one
oh,
other
yeah. go for
off
it.
The board name? Wilfred Ndidi is another player that I love for Leicester City, and I would love him at Bayern. I don't think that necessarily he would fit at Bayern, but one of my favorite players in the world, so I would love to have him in Bayern shirt. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, that's kind of, I like Ndidi as well. I think kind of like a similar profile in so much as a defensive midfielder. It would be Nicolas Dorsch. I think that would be...
Also knew it.
That would just be fun. Yeah, it's very predictable. I'm going to give you another name as well, and I'm certain you know who that is as well. It is Rafinha. no, it's not.
Or Mandzukic. I didn't know which one you were going to go with there.
Oh, but as a player.
Well, he was the defensive midfielder, so that's entirely possible. I like the idea of Dorsch being part of the youth system, making his debut. He has a better scoring rate for Bayern than Lewandowski does. I'm just going to put that out there. He's played one game, he scored one goal. You could put him up front, he's guaranteed to get a goal every single game he plays. You can't argue with the statistics. I love Dorsch. I love the idea of him coming back and being the guy that we need. I think he has the capability to do that. The other name that I'd love to bring into the club is probably Luka Jovic. I think he's a cool striker. I'd love to see what he can do. I don't think he's the guy that will get 35 goals a season, but I think he would give as good as, I think he'd probably give as much effort as he could in trying to make it happen. I really like both of those guys.
Well, there you have it, Hasan Salihamidžić. I know you're listening. We've done your homework for you. So just go out and make all those deals happen, and we'll be
and
happy.
And sell Lewandowski.
Right, yeah. Take the offer. But that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you are a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, or if you just enjoyed listening today, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do that a few ways. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. And you can also follow us over on Twitter at superbayernpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. Thank you guys for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.